Good morning. Now it's working. During the summer, we will not be having formal religious education, but there will be supervised activities available for children who feel that they need a break from the service. Children under 12. And this morning, we are going to build a despacho, and there is a special role for children to play. And so we hope you stay until that is completed. One of the ways we care for the wider community is by contributing to local food pantries, both financially and through the collection of non-perishable food items. If you have food items to share, bring them forward at this point, or give them to a child if you can see one, or anytime come up and put them in that basket there. Please take a moment at this point in the service to silence any electronics that beep and cheep that you might have with you. And thank you for being here today.
My brother, the star, my mother, the earth, my father, the sun, my sister, the moon. To my life, give beauty. To my body, give strength. To my corn, give goodness. To my house, give peace. To my spirit, give truth. To my elders, give wisdom. We must pray for strength. We must pray to come together. Pray to the weeping earth. Pray to the trembling waters and to the wandering rains. And we must pray to the whispering moon. Pray to the tiptoeing tongue stars and pray to the hollering sun. Please take a moment to say hello and introduce yourself to the people around you this morning.
Thank you, Haley. For sleepless nights awaiting the curfew breakers, for anxious hours as a driving instructor, for hours spent on sidelines cheering and watching school plays, sometimes resting our eyes, for the pressures of breadwinning and wait till your father gets home, for teaching moments and mentoring moments, for making up answers when you just don't know but are expected to because you know everything, for scrapes and boo-boo kisses and band-aids, for hugs and kisses and silliness and play, for bedtime stories and early morning ice time, for all the aftershave and ties received as gifts, for handing over car keys and waves goodbye, for father-daughter wedding dances and cradling grandchildren for the first time, for all the moments and all the meaning in the role of a lifetime, we light our chalice for fathers and for fatherhood. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our opening hymn, The Blessings of the Earth and Sky, number 308 in the Gray Hymnal.
Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we work to bring a message of hope and grace to an imperfect world. My name is Lois Romikas, and Sue Andrews and I are the worship leaders for this morning's service. Today's service will be a little bit different from our regular service. We'll be celebrating both Father's Day and the upcoming summer solstice. We'll be going back and forth in the service on these celebrations. To celebrate the summer solstice, we'll be creating a despacho, and you see the beginning parts of it down here in front. This is a reflection of my spiritual practice in the Pachacuti Mesa tradition, and that focuses on Peruvian native practices of northern coastal and highlands Peru. So very similar to the elements that you'd find here in North America, the honoring of, you know, the sun, the moon, the mountains, you know, the sort of the basic elements, and you'll see it looks very much like a medicine wheel down below. In this practice, the despacho is a ritual offering or feeding back to Mother Earth. This ritual process offers a place for reflection regarding our balance of resources, physical, energetic, spiritual, and otherwise. The Quechua people call this Aini, or sacred reciprocity with the world. It asks that what we have taken and received from nature, from our families, from our communities, that we need to be in balance with. The elders of this tradition were aware of our very human tendency to take more than we give back in prayer, intention, and love. This act of creating this despacho provides a moment of reflection through intention or prayer to move back into balance and with life, with nature and life. Today we'll be creating it with your assistance if you want to participate, and I'll be offering it to a fire at our house later this week. And I'll be talking about the process later in the service. No matter who you are and where you have come from, you are welcome here. We welcome all the fathers and grandfathers and brothers and uncles and others who've been father-like to someone. We welcome all of those who honor the sun, the earth, the water, the mountains. We welcome all of those who none of these things apply and aren't sure that they've even come to the right place. As a UUA-recognized welcoming congregation, we welcome and affirm all people, regardless of who they love or what pronouns they use. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service. And while you're there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about our church. We are glad that you have chosen to be here today with us to celebrate and to worship with us.
For our song, I wanted to request, you'll see the refrain in the order of service. In the second half of the song, I'll give you a cue. We're going to sing it through several times. But the third time through, I'll put my hands up for you guys to stand and join in the refrain. So, thank you.
Death by chocolate is a myth, yeah, this I know, because I live. Oh, I've been around for broken hearts and how they ahead my hands, little girl, this is only right. Might explode but you'll reach the end of the road, and you little tree, uncertain you'll grow. Tears on your pillow will dry and you will learn just how to love again.
Just how to love again.
Oh, my weeping willow, there's a leaf fall in return. Oh, darling, the seasons are your friend.
Death by anger, this is true. Oh, just let him go, he can't hurt you.
Oh, little girl, this is such a cruel, cruel world.
This is the first of a million broken hearts.
Tears on your pillow will dry and you'll learn just how to love again.
Just how to love again.
Oh, my weeping willow, let your leaves fall and return. Oh, darling, the seasons are your friend. Oh, it won't be long, you will grow strong, up, up and away.
As we move into today's service, we're asked to reflect on our Aini, or our sacred reciprocity. Where are we out of balance in our lives with our give and take? At this moment, let us reflect on our balance of what we give and receive from our church, how the community supports us, how we participate on various committees, sing in the choir, participate in education for our children and for ourselves, and all the other activities that we and others engage in as a community. This morning's offering will now be given and received. Thank you for these gifts given and received for the work of this community.
One of the reasons we come together in beloved community is to share our laughter and our tears, and we do this in several ways. Before the service, you are always welcome to come silently, light a candle. And during the service, we speak aloud, and the worship associate, or in this case, the worship co-leader, lights candles for us. So would anyone who has a joy or concern to share, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone. Please limit it to a couple sentences so that everyone who needs to speak has time to share.
I would like you to light a candle for my cousin Moni and her family. I just got word this morning that she's in the hospital with a brain hemorrhage. Thank you.
Hi, this is Terry. We say goodbye to our dog on Friday, Nikki. She came to us about 5 or 6 years ago, and she had a hard life before us, so we spoiled her to death. And I would like to just say an amazing joy in my life is that my father's almost 94 and he's still part of my life. And I wish I could be with him today, but I'm so grateful to him. He's been a real driving force in my life, positive.
Hi, it's Barb. As a person in recovery, we always aim to help those who ask us. Yesterday, I was asked by
for all the fathers who are separated from their children today, fathers in the armed forces, fathers in prison, divorced fathers, estranged fathers, may we be mindful of their pain.
Hello? Father's Day for me is always problematic because my father was something of a monster. But I want to express a joy to be in this congregation with so many men who are good fathers and are kind to me and accepting of me and have helped me spiritually to actually grow. And I kind of wish my own father had done that, but circumstances being what they were, he couldn't help it. He did the best he could, but it wasn't particularly supportive. So I want to thank all the fathers in here that are nice to me, which is most of you, I think.
And this is Jim. If you would light a candle of joy for yet another successful canoe and kayak kerfuffle put on by the Haskells.
Hello. This is Chris, and 2009, I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer, and I celebrated my 8th anniversary of being cancer-free this week. So that's a candle of joy for us, definitely. And a candle of memory for Patricia Muckerhide. She's been like a second mother to me in my life, and she's going to be celebrated because she passed away this past week.
This is Kristen. If you could light 2 candles, one of joy for our son Evan, who graduated from high school a couple weeks ago, and all others that are graduating or transitioning to wonderful things ahead. And also a candle of concern and memory for my great aunt Carol, who passed away this month.
Hi, this is Mayor. I had a very difficult childhood and difficult relationships with both of my parents and step-parents, and a lot of trauma involved with that. I was estranged from my father for 8 years in recent history. I've now restored that relationship, and I did send him a Father's Day card, and I need to call him. But there's a verse in the Bible that says he, being God, puts the fatherless in families. And I just want to be thankful, express my gratitude that he has done that for me through my second husband, Ken Fox, here, and all of his relatives and friends. He's put me in a new network, including this church now, as an extension of that. And I'm very thankful today to have my stepdaughter, my lovely stepdaughter, whom I adore, as well as her 2 children, who are, I'm their Nana. And so I just want to express a candle of joy be lit for my new family. Thank you.
And let us light one last candle for those joys and sorrows which we hold in our hearts but have not been named here today.
Talk down here for this part of the service. This Highland tradition of the despacho is, like I've said, a way for us to be in this aini, or sacred reciprocity, with our world. This reverent creating and offering offers us a chance for reflection and deep gratitude for everything that the world gives us, to be real healthy stewards of this planet. Physically, a despacho is composed of items called regados, or message bringers, which we have some here on the table, and regalos, small presents or little treats and delicacies that are all arranged on this piece of paper. And those are also down here. Each of this is infused with a prayer or an intention, healing energy, and later this all gets bundled together and burned, or sometimes buried. But I've noticed that animals frequently kind of dig it up, and then your yard is strewn with interesting things. And so, like I've said, it looks a little bit like the North American Native tradition. It's very beautiful. It's sacred. It's an intention. In Peru, if we lived down there, we would go to the healer's market or the curandismo market and pick up a kit. But since we're in the United States, we adopt a lot of different things to our world, as I was taught by my shaman, that, you know, we just need to make it how we would do things here in the U.S. So to begin with, we laid out a piece of white paper. I blew some sacred water over it, agua, Florida water. And everything, as you notice, is within a hoop, a circle. And that circle stands for our community. So we are all of our intentions go into this community that we have here. And we've started this with a base offering of sugar for the sweetness of life, corn for abundance, tobacco laid out in the sort of equal cross sign for sacred incense. And then we've placed many of the plant offerings because this being an agricultural country and things that they put down, corn and rice and oatmeal for sustenance, quinoa being Peru, where it comes from, for the spice of life, lima beans for the four corners of the Incan Empire. This culture, this process derives from the Incas, the whole Quechua side. Sunflower seeds for new beginning, lavender for harmony, raisins for our elders. But now I need some help, and if any of the children would like to come up, I have some fun things that we can put in here. And so I'd really like some help, so could, you know, anybody who's here that would like to, come on up. Don't be afraid, it's fun. So how many? So we've got four of you. So I think I'm going to each give everybody two things to put in, okay? All right. So no, they're kind of old and stale, actually, but they all represent something. So sorry. Yeah, I know, I've got animal crackers down here. So think of it like a birthday wish. Think of something that, you know, you want for your community, for your family, and blow that in to these animal crackers that represent all the four-legged animals, and you can put them anywhere in the circle, okay? So here, you can just take, you can take the, you can take as many as you want. You can hold the dish. You can take the dish. And you can get the gummy worms, and the gummy worms represent all the creepy crawlies and all those kinds of things that help our plants and everything. And they're also, because they're kind of stale candy, but they still represent the sweetness of life. And you get the star anise, and that represents all the creatures in the sea. And I'm going to give you alphabets for our language and how blessed we are to have our language. And then let me get some more things. Okay, we can have, you can put them wherever you want in the circle. Just put it, take them out and put them right in the circle. Yep, that's it, and then you can put the, oops, that's okay, that's all right. Just spread this off to the side. And who wants to take the feather for the winged ones? Okay. And then we can get some candles for thunder and lightning and stars for the stars, and you can sprinkle those all over. You want to sprinkle? Okay, so we got some confetti for joy. That's fun. Do you want to put a rainbow ribbon for the, all the beautiful rainbows that we're blessed with? And then we've got a gold and silver thread for the sacred masculine and the sacred feminine. And then I'm going to give everybody some cotton balls, and these represent the clouds who are going to bring us rain. So if you all want to take some, take some of these. Here. Here's a couple more. There you go. So we're building something really pretty. We'll take this out of here. Put these off to the side. Yeah, those gummy bears are really stuck together, aren't they? Yeah. Oh, well, they're old. I should have gotten some fresh ones, shouldn't I? That's okay. All right, good. Look how pretty that is. It's got all kinds of stuff. That's for later. We do those at the end. Got it? Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Thanks so much. And now if the adults would come up, I have something for all of you to do, and it's quite a bit different. It's really, this is our meditation time, and if we could come up in sort of silence, we're going to be offering something that we call quintus. Normally, these would be coca leaves, but here in this world, we use bay leaves. It's a substitute. And what I want you to do is put them between your fingers. You can kind of see how I have them between their fingers. And blow, second, third, see? And you have the ribbing, if you can, remember to put the ribbing on the back, you know, sort of facing away from you. What I want you to do is blow an intention or prayer. One will be for yourself or for your family. And the second one is whatever wider part of the world, you know, whether it, you want to look at it, the community, the state, the country, whatever, you know, large intention. Just blow those in quietly and place them anywhere you want in the circle. And that will be our meditation for today. So if we can walk in what I want to call just that silent walking prayer and come up. And we've got two trays, and I thought one side, if maybe this tray can go through this front side and that tray can go to the back side, and I'm going to step off to the side, and we can put our intentions and prayers in. So you want to start coming up, and we're a small group today, so just form two lines. Thank you. What we'll be doing after the service is just a little bit of finishing up. I have some, in my little dishes here, I have some incense and a shell, and then these carnations. All that we ring the outside of it with the red and white carnations, the red standing for Pachamama, or Mother Earth, the white, think Peru, the Andes, the Apacuna, the mountains. And so it becomes, as you can see, it's kind of forming. So it becomes very beautiful. And so I'll take a picture of it, or I'll ask maybe my spouse to take a picture of it. And then we fold it up, and we tie it with some red ribbon, and I usually leave a couple of flowers out so it looks like a little, you know, bundle of joy with the flowers and everything. And then I'll burn it later this week, you know, whenever the weather's good, and after our granddaughter leaves us. Gotta spend some more time with her. We'll burn it at our house. If you're interested in coming over, let me know at the end of the service and make sure I have your email or, you know, your name and stuff so we can just invite you over. And there's a little ritual we do with that as well. So thank you.
Our centering hymn today is O Brother Sun. Maya Sandin and Will Estee are going to sing it through once for us, one verse. And after that, please rise in body or spirit, and we'll sing together both verses. It seems to me that Father's Day used to be simpler and more straightforward. A necktie, a card with a fish on it, Dad's favorite dish for dinner. Our uneasiness with patriarchy and deconstruction of gender have complicated matters. But maybe Mother's Day and Father's Day have always had their problems. The cynics among us snarl that they are a Hallmark plot. And we certainly all don't have a Walton's-type memory of our mother and dad. Maybe that show was so popular for so long because it was the Hallmark family we wished we'd had. Presbyterian minister John Shuck said in a Father's Day sermon, "The big challenge for both Mother's Day and Father's Day is that there is no such thing as a generic mother or father. We all have complex, multifaceted, and unfinished business with real human beings. It may be easier to skip church on this day than to deal with the emotional fallout that all the mother and father imagery uncovers in our lives. As a minister, I know that this is the case because many have told me exactly that over the years. On the other hand, it could be that these sentimental and commercial popular holidays exist because we have a need to explore and to honor and to struggle with the most important relationships in life. Worship is an opportunity to acknowledge these relationships, including their brokenness, and who knows, maybe even take a step toward healing." I think Reverend Shook is right on. The hardest tasks we do in our life is maintaining and tending to our intimate relationships, to our closest relationships, being partners and lovers, being parents, being filial to our parents. When Lois suggested that we tap into the earth-honoring traditions and think in terms of the sacred masculine for this day, I realized that we could draw on the concept of archetypes. Archetypes are a predisposition to organize our experience in certain ways. They are templates for certain experiences. Carl Jung thought that these predispositions were built in through the millennia of shared human experience. Maybe, maybe not. However, there are experiential themes that run across cultures and through time. The concept of archetypes helps us understand the power of art to speak to us across culture. We recognize the fecundity and motherliness of a Venus statue made thousands of years ago. The painting of Joan of Arc on her horse evokes the heroic. The father archetype finds expression in portrayals of strong leaders who are protectors and set examples. Moses is an example. So is Mufasa in The Lion King, who is a perfect example of a king and teaches Simba his ways. Or Gregory Peck in To Kill a Mockingbird. One powerful expression of the sacred masculine is Father Sky, or Father Sun. In Peruvian traditions, Intu Teta, the great sun, establishes the overall pattern of the year. The Incas considered themselves to be children of the sun. Christians say, "Our Father who art in heaven." This father archetype is often seen as powerful and controlling, the creator and procreator. Recently, I listened to a father talk about his conflicted relationship with his teenage son, who is rebelling, and acting out. This father said, "There is only room for one man in this household." It made me sad to hear that. The parental archetype here is the stern, controlling, powerful father, a rule maker, one who teaches right from wrong, the just wait until your dad gets home type of father. My dad was that type of dad. While we are grateful for guidance and protection, to grow up, we must break out. I know this father-son relationship is going to require some of the healing that Shuck speaks of. Still, this is a committed father doing the best he knows how, deeply invested in his father, in his fathering, and in his family. On this Father's Day, we praise and honor these fathers, hoping that they and their children find the paths to healing the inevitable fractures in their relationships. In his exploration of the sacred masculine, theologian Michael Fox introduces a second parental archetype, the fatherly heart. This metaphor captures the experience of a caring, instructing, protecting father whose goal is that his children become competent, independent adults. Fox lists the following qualities of the fatherly heart. The fatherly heart is caring, giving and generous, listening and receptive, encouraging, sees the big picture and is magnanimous, which means very generous and forgiving, and according to Fox, comes from the Latin meaning big soul. I have to use that word more often. The fatherly heart is playful and affectionate, protective, instructing. The metaphor of the fatherly heart struck me immediately as what we are celebrating on Father's Day. I knew intuitively what Fox was talking about. Good metaphors work when they click with experiential truth. It is easy to find examples of the fatherly heart. The father in our special music that Greg sung. And what about Phil Mickelson, who chose his daughter Amanda's high school graduation over the U.S. Open? And then there is the parable of the prodigal son, found in the book of Luke in the New Testament of the Christian Bible. A wealthy man had two sons. The younger one decided that he would do better off on his own, making a success of himself out in the world. And he demanded his half of the inheritance. So the father gave the younger son his share, and off the fellow went. Well, the kid blew his resources in reckless living and ended up feeding pigs. Abashed, he decided to go home and throw himself on his father's mercy. When his dad saw him coming, the dad rushed out, running to his son, and commanded the servants to get out the best robe and to butcher the fatted calf. The older son, who was off in a field working, saw what was going on and was furious. Here he'd stayed around and been helpful and loyal, and this schmuck of a younger brother who'd messed up was being treated like royalty. The eldest son complained bitterly to his father. Now listen what the father says to him. "Child, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. We just had to make merry and be happy, for this, your brother, was dead, and he has come to life. He was lost, and he has been found. This is the fatherly heart. In the here and now, Pope Francis comes to mind. I think it is the many indications of the fatherly heart that have so many of us cheering for Pope Francis, whether or not we have our roots in the Roman Catholic tradition. Just before Lent, Pope Francis was asked whether it was okay to give money to beggars on the street. Here's the Catholic News Service report on his answer. People who don't give money to the homeless because they think it will be spent on alcohol and not food should ask themselves what guilty pleasures they are secretly spending money on. There are many excuses to justify why one doesn't lend a hand when asked by a person begging on the street. But giving to someone in need is always right, and it should be done with respect and compassion, because tossing money and not looking in their eyes is not a Christian way of behaving, he said. Now, this response stirred a spirited debate on whether giving money to folks on street corners was the best allocation of one's charitable dollar. I think this debate misses the point that Francis was trying to make. He is saying, who are we to judge, as he did when asked about gay priests? He is cautioning us against self-righteousness and praising generosity of spirit. I think this response was magnanimous. A month ago, the Religious Education Ministry held a bridging ceremony for two graduating high school students. In brief videos, their mentors for bridging spoke of their experiences. If you heard what Bill Listis and Bud Hudson had to say about their experiences, you know you were listening to the fatherly heart. I asked several fathers to finish a sentence for me. I feel most fatherly when. Here are several of their answers. Listen closely, for you will hear the fatherly heart. I feel most fatherly when I share with my boy the things my father taught me. Tying a tie, planting plants, butchering, asking someone on a date, behaving at a formal dinner, being brave by doing something even when you're scared. I feel most fatherly when I let my girls build their own self-confidence by letting them succeed on their own. When they achieve their own self-confidence, my job feels completed. I feel proud of their successes. Another time is when they step up and do the right thing, usually something that I would not have had the courage to do. I feel most fatherly when I give my kids a kiss and a hug goodnight to let them know that whatever happened that day, they are always loved and protected. In her Mother's Day sermons, Reverend Amy is always careful to acknowledge that some of us are not mothered very well, that some of us don't have mothers, and that some of us mother without having our own biological children. The same is true of fathering. Some fathering overflows with the fatherly heart. Some fathering is shadowed with control and anger. Some fathering is conspicuous in its absence. Some children need to find the fatherly heart in teachers and scout leaders and ministers and uncles and grandfathers and big brothers and neighbors. But I do believe and I do hope that we have all been blessed by the embrace of a fatherly heart. So this Father's Day, let us celebrate all fathers. Let us celebrate and praise the fatherly heart. Blessed be.
Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our closing hymn for this week, number 21, For the Beauty of the Earth in the Gray Hymnal.
Let us go forth into the blessing of sunlight to drink in the abundance of summer, the rustling of leaves and buzzing of bees, scent of freshly cut grass and sun-heated skin. Let us go forth with thanks for the paternal hearts which have held us in their embrace, inspired us, given us courage. May it be so. And blessed be.
Thank you. Thank you.